In 1834, there was a strong grassroots movement, even in the British government, to abolish slavery in Jamaica. So it was a done deal. It would come into play on August 1st, 1834. So the evening before, July 31st, there was a gathering, a sacred event down on the beach. Former slaves, slaves soon to be free, they gathered. And on the beach, there was a coffin that was set there, a mahogany coffin. And there was a hole dug right next to it. And all night, they brought the implements of their enslavement, symbols of their slavery, they brought forward and they placed in the coffin chains and leg irons and whips and padlocks, maybe knives. I mean, you can imagine the kind of things that they were bringing out and putting in that coffin. And then just before midnight, they lowered the coffin into the hole and they pushed the sand. They gathered and they pushed that sand right into the hole. And then, with one glorious voice, they gathered around and they sang, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow." They sang what we know as the doxology. They were free indeed. They were free indeed. For us, and even in this area of the country, 243 years ago, you can check my math on that, I think it's right. Continental Congress declared the separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain. Freedom was foremost in the founders' minds, but it did not originate with them. Freedom is of God. Freedom is in Christ. But in every age across the globe, human beings have desired to breathe free. That's on the Statue of Liberty, right? To breathe free. What does that mean spiritually? What does that mean to help others to breathe more freely? Well, Jesus announced in his first sermon that he'd been anointed by the Holy Spirit to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free. And later he told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." What Jessica read in Galatians 5:1 is the great theme of Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Verse 1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Stand firm. You know Jesus. You know what he did for you. You are free in Christ. Stand firm in that. You know where you stand. He was encouraging them. You know where you stand. Don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Slavery meant something different for them, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But the great theme of Paul's letter, he lays it out in 13 through 25, the verses that were also read. It sets the nature, the meaning, parameters of that freedom. And verse 13 is our call. You have been called to freedom. You and I have been called to freedom. Don't use it for something you shouldn't be using it for. But the spiritual freedom, use it for serving one another through God's love. Rachel brought that out in the children's moment. Yes, happened all week. VBS, and great examples all around. Serving one another in God's love. When we're standing firm in His love, when we are surrounded, we are plunged into the depths of His love. One singer said, drowning in the ocean of your love. You know, dying to self, and it's only about God's love. When we are plunged into the depths, filled and empowered by this supernatural force, God's agape love, it changes us. It changes the world. I was going to highlight the example of the VBS volunteers, 34 plus, I think Rachel said. It's amazing. Just loving on those kids, watching them experience God's love, getting a little crazy. It was a little bit crazier with the singing and dancing throughout the week. You know, we kind of keep a cap on them here a little bit, I think. But there was great freedom and love, and it impacts homes and families and friendships. And I hope all the kids got the songs, the video, the music is fantastic. And when they play it at home, we've heard over the years how it ministers to families. Parents beginning to weep because their children are singing these songs. They've been loved on in Jesus' name. There they are serving their families through worship, through music. I hope it's happening all over the place. Get your hands on one of those CDs. But God is good. This passage lays out clearly our potential when we stand firm in our freedom in God's love, that we will be sacrificial servants. We will serve wherever we are at. You know, it's more than just sitting next to each other in the pews on a Sunday morning. It's hard to one another, to serve one another. We can do that. Next week is about bearing one another's burdens as we come to the Lord's table. But that's for next week. But our potential, what the Spirit wants to accomplish in us and through us when we depend on Him. The alternative, what you and I tend to do when we're on our own, not standing firm. Have you had a week like that? The heat can bring out the worst in us, I tell you. Oh, man, there were so many people ready to smack one another out in town or run into them, or the heat just does that. Even, let me at them. But what we tend to do, we slip off the rock that is Jesus, our foundation. We slip off of it. For the Galatians, on one end of the spectrum, some would have them follow the letter of the law, saying, "You, all the food requirements, you're eating what you're not supposed to be eating, and men, you got to be circumcised, and all the other stuff." So that was one end of the spectrum. It's like they were, you know, there was a renewal happening, but they wanted to default back, say, all these new people coming in, you know, they should do things the way that we used to do. Let's make them males get circumcised, and let's do these food restrictions, you know, or whatever it is. But change was happening. The Gentiles were coming in. God was moving. But that was kind of the conservative end. There was another end of the spectrum. Freedom meant for some that they could indulge in whatever they wanted. Woohoo! Bring it on. There were no restraints. Their soul was saved, but their physical body was separate from their soul. You know, it's a wrong teaching. So the physical body could do whatever it wanted because I'm saved. I'm forgiven in Jesus. My body can do whatever it wants. My soul is saved. And that's a heresy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called that cheap grace. Knowing you're forgiven and just taking advantage and just doing whatever you want to do. Well, I'll be forgiven anyway. I'll let them have it. You know, it's hot out. I'll just let people know how I feel and, you know, on and on and on. Or I'll just do whatever I want. I'll indulge. I'm free. I'll be forgiven. Paul said, no, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Bonhoeffer lifts up costly grace. It cost God something for our freedom. Our debt of sin was paid. It cost something. It's not cheap grace. And then the passage goes on. There's a partial list of the deeds of the flesh. What a list. Holy cow. There's more than that? Because he says, and the like. You know, things like these. But I just want to look at the relational ones, because today is about relationships. It's about serving one another in love. You know, what happens in our relationships when we are living without faith? Well, I'll go back to that hot day. Oh, that was yesterday? All that was happening? Holy cow. What happens without faith in our relationships? Well, Paul warns them in verse 15. You know the beautiful one another's in the Bible? You know, love one another, serve one another. Here's a couple another's, one another's that are negative. Paul warns that if you bite and devour one another, not literally biting and eating, if you bite and devour one another, take care lest you consume one another. I think some of that was happening in the church in Galatia. When the Judaizers came in and said, hey, we got to default back to the way things are. And, you know, they just started biting and devouring and just tearing each other apart with words. Boy, if words could kill. Summer was 1976. Summer before entering high school, I was wearing my white with purple pinstripe Ace Hardware baseball uniform. I was on my 10-speed bike going to the early game that morning, the first game at a park across town. I tooled and got there early before anybody else. Huge park. And by this huge pine tree, bushy pine tree, there was something that I saw. Two cats. It's like fangs and claws out on each other's throat, you know, dug into the body, teeth out, fangs, and they were stiff as a board. You know, wrapped and twined around one another. You know, a cat fight to the end. I'm not touching that. Trust me, they were stiff as a board, but I've never seen anything like that. For me, that symbolizes what Paul is saying. This is what can happen. Homes, churches, you know, wherever. It can happen. What happens when people are symbolically biting and devouring and consuming one another? You know, there's plenty of examples out there. Our whole politics and what's beyond the news and seeing what, you know, one side or the other is doing to the other one. We're sick of it. Who even watches it anymore? It's a fiasco. You know, all that's become public. And you can kind of see what's behind it all. It has nothing to do with the content, but they make it everything about the content on both sides, all the news media. It's about the process. It's about the mistreatment of others. I'm going to do one to them before they do one to me. That's the political, you know, theme. That's the platform these days. And verse 20 sums it all up. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. That's human nature without restraint. Polarization will stymie our country. Political parties will continue to divide and split. Churches can split. Hearts can be broken. Families can be torn apart. Collateral damage everywhere. Negative form of one anothering. Let's not live life to do one to them before they do one to us. Let's get to the positive side. What our God of love desires to do, what the Holy Spirit is willing to do, we've experienced that. We've tasted that. I hope we taste it over and over and over again. But it's about our taking care. It's about our standing firm. Literally, that translation is keep on standing firm. Keep on standing firm. Today, every day, every prayer, stand firm in God's love, in God's grace, in God's care, in serving others. It's not about being served. And oh, I tell you, I'm human. I'd rather be served sometimes. But no, it's not about that. It's about serving. Where can I serve? Where can I help? How can I outserve my wife at home? How can I outserve my brothers and sisters at church? Not for my glory, for God's glory. Some of you are shining for Jesus incredibly behind the scenes. Nobody ever sees it, but Jesus does. Keep it going. But that's what the Spirit wants to do. Remaining in God's love, grace, and His will. And what the Holy Spirit does in us, it helps us resist where the deeds of the flesh want to go. You know, we won't look at that thing or think about that thing or do that thing. Or we will be in check. The Spirit helps us not do what our flesh really wants to do. And sometimes it's just to tell somebody else off and to tell them how you feel about them. No, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. Draw blood if you have to. It's all for Jesus. The Spirit wants to bear fruit. Mainly it's God's agape love. You know, everything else is the extra, isn't it? I mean, if we're drowning in God's love, if we are filled and plunged into God's love, all these other, it's just one fruit. It's not fruits. There's no S. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And love leads the, you know, leads the list there. Becoming overwhelmed and filled with this fruit will follow in obedience. We will be obedient. We will follow. Serving others in God's love. Paul's love chapter in Corinthians is chapter what, kids? It's close. I think someone said 13. Did someone say 13 or 15? I don't know. I couldn't hear. 13, 1 Corinthians 13. It tells us what serving in love is all about, what it's not about. It has lists. It kind of goes back and forth. So love is patient. It's kind. It does not envy or boast. It's not proud. It's not hurtful. It's not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Are you sure about that? No record of wrongs? Uh-oh. When we're offended, what do? We keep good records. We keep tabs. And boy, something just kind of sets us off and we remember. Oh, do we remember? Hopefully that's not you. It might just be me. But what do when offended? Do we fester? Do we get even? Do we pull back? I'm just not going to be part of that group anymore. I'm offended. Yeah, we've all been there. But that's not the way. And if being offended or offense, there'll be a class at the end of the summer, the bait of Satan. Oh, subtly he can just light a fire in us about holding on to grudges. We don't want to linger there too long, though. But love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always endures forever. Love never fails. Serving others in this love, it sets them free. Maybe you've been cared for and someone has served you, and it set you free even for a short time, or maybe it's inspired you to serve. There's a freedom that comes as we serve sacrificially and we help others breathe free, to be at peace, to have hope, to experience God's love. And the benefits for us, it's the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But standing firm in this love is freedom in Christ. Ephesians 6 has some great battle cry prayers. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. There's a battle cry. Taking our position in prayer, standing firm. This is where I stand. And for Galatians, it's in freedom, serving in love. It's our identity, symbolized in our baptism, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, knowing who we are. There's nothing to fear. Our Lord is with us forever. We are free. Do we know that we are free? Do we live as if we're free? Sometimes that's hard. The famed escape artist, Harry Houdini. How many junior Houdinis are out there still trying to escape stuff? He could go into a town and he said, you can put me in any jail and I can get out. I can get out quickly. I can get out of anything. So he entered this one jail in a one small town, and he went into his street clothes and he went in. They locked, you know, they closed up the jail. And being in his street clothes, he pulled out a thin piece of metal. Oh, that's how he does it, huh? From his belt. Thin, flexible. And he went to work. He's got to pick that lock. 1 hour had passed, nothing's happened. The second hour, he's sweating, he's frustrated, he's confused. Something was wrong with this lock. So he just collapses. He falls against the door and it swings right open. It was never, ever locked. In his mind, it was locked. That's all it took to keep him from opening it up and walking out. Maybe the issue is freedom. What does it mean for us? How come we don't totally feel free? Well, we won't until the end of time, until Jesus returns. There's still a battle with the enemy, with darkness, with the powers of evil, and with the deeds of the flesh, and with ill treatment of others, can still have a hold of us, can still overtake us. And our worship team's going to lead us in a song. Have you come and get ready now? I've got just a few more things to say. I'll go over on this side. Our freedom is in Christ, who died and rose again. Our identity is in our baptism, in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it means that we are spiritually set free once and for all. It's not about we're not free in Christ. We are. We are free in Christ. Set free from the debt of sin, from the powers of death and darkness. By faith, we are free. This is where we stand. It's on solid ground. Having the mind of Christ, he was servant of all. That's where we stand. I'm a servant of all. That's where we stand. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We serve. We serve in love. So why stand anywhere else or believe anything else about our freedom? Where are you standing today? Come along and serve one another in love. We're doing a lot of outreach, but there's a lot of care that needs to happen within the walls too, and serving those out there. Where do you stand today? Where do you stand? God's perfect love casts out all fear. True freedom is in Christ. Where do you stand? And if you are able, let us stand and sing with this response, this prayer song.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones,